Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at theqfilmcast.net. Just click the link in the upper right-hand corner and choose from over 150,000 titles for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's Audible.com.
Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're listening online, worldwide, or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thank you for tuning in. If it's our first time together, let me tell you what we do. We are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Roger's studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our weekly top three list inspired by the movie in question. And the movie in question this week, let's just say we're infecting you with our breakdown. You know I have more, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be all night.
We're infecting you with our breakdown of the 2012 film Antiviral from new director and son of David Cronenberg, Brandon Cronenberg. We're going to find out if he's a dead ringer.
Sorry. That was puntastic.
Oh.
Head in hands, and he shakes his head.
That crashed.
Crashed. All right. We have time for that later, right?
I'll cut that.
That just doesn't fly with me.
There you go. All right, man. And this one here stars Caleb Landry Jones. So if you've seen it, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree with our take. Or if not, just keep listening. See if you want to cue it up yourself, right?
That's the way
the game is played. So once again, I'm Michael, along with James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
You know, I'm doing okay, Savage. You know, last week I was actually infected with a virus, ironically enough. And
I do know that.
You remember that?
And did you take any antivirals?
Well, I took some Robitussin.
Was there anybody any good? Or I mean, did you?
Well, you know, kind of like our producer, who's obviously infected with a bad case of Ricky Gervais. I have no idea. Actually, I don't know. I don't know what you call it. I suspect it was Andy Dick, though.
That's kind of that's awful. Man. That is the worst thing to be infected with.
Yeah. Especially where I was infected to, right in the gut.
Right.
Yeah, but no, I'm doing okay. Hey, we're off to a
so
good start.
Right. I can go on that.
All night, baby.
We got all night, man. And Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hi.
The patron saint of quality outerwear.
Hi.
How are you, sir?
Hello.
You look awfully healthy.
Oh, excellent.
You know what you have? You have a rosy glow.
Yeah. I'm not infected by any celebrities at the moment.
Not a Roseanne glow, a rosy glow.
That's what I say, not a Roseanne Barr glow.
Okay.
Yeah. Max Gumbo Johnson.
Hello.
Hello. Did you notice my my accent on gumbo, how he said that with force? Gumbo Johnson.
No, I didn't. Say it again.
Never mind. Rounding it up.
But that gives me the shivers.
The shivers?
Oh, yeah. God.
I'm gonna name every Cronenberg movie I can tonight.
Yeah.
We are such a great brood. Mark one more.
He's really crossing him off a list.
Yeah, literally.
Are you scanning your list?
I don't know.
No, there it is. Just got scanners.
I'll tell you what, though. His method is dangerous. I promise you.
It's such a history of violence.
I think we've gone through the catalog.
We got more to go.
Adam the Bomb Rogers. Drop it. How are you? That's all we get. That's all we need.
That's all we get.
And that's pretty much all I want. Let's talk about how you can keep up with us, you know, any which way you want. Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, YouTube, you Google, whatever. The Q Filmcast, we're there. I suggest you go to our site, theqfilmcast.net. We love listener feedback. Go in there. Tell us how we're doing. And give us your thoughts on this show or any movie we've reviewed, actually. Okay, so tonight we're talking about the film Antiviral 2012. And once again, this is a special episode. You know why.
Yeah. Why?
Well, because it's a listener pick, Max.
Listener?
What listener would that be, Matt?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, Matt's in a bit of a dead zone right now.
He got the dead zone.
Sorry, producer.
You make me rabid with anticipation.
Your existence sucks.
Existence, too.
Yeah, we're forcing them now.
I didn't know we were doing this. You guys need to let me know. I got nothing.
Yeah. I don't either, man.
I literally have nothing else. Yeah, so it's Antiviral, and it's a listener pick this week. Friend of the show. We know him. None of us have met him. Yeah. But he's been along for the ride from the very beginning. We're talking about David Schultz.
Schultzy.
Hey, David.
And he wanted us to talk about the film Antiviral.
Yeah.
I was on board. I'd seen it, so I said, that's a good pick. We can strike up a conversation here. So thank you, David Schultz. Listener appreciation. Let's talk a little bit about this film. We'll get into that. We'll tell you his review. We'll give you his rating, ours as well. And then we'll get into the meat of the matter. The gray matter.
Yeah, the meat of the matter.
The new flesh, the flesh of the matter, right. Yeah. Let's talk about this film, Antiviral 2012, written and directed by Brandon Cronenberg. You know, I knew he directed it. I didn't realize he wrote it.
He did.
If he would have been in it, we would have had another director.
Well, he wasn't, so let's move along.
Yeah,
right.
This is pretty much his first film. He looks a lot like Peter Murphy. I know that.
His first feature film.
Peter Murphy from RoboCop? Peter Weller?
No. Never mind. Moving along. This film stars Caleb Landry Jones, who plays Sid March in the film, from X-Men First Class. I think that's the only thing you'll really remember him from.
Yeah.
He was the kid on the bike in No Country for Old Men.
I saw that. I don't remember the kid. Do you?
No.
No, but he played Kid in the Bike. I guess that's where
I'm
he
sure
got
if you watch No Country for Old Men and look for the pasty white freckled guy, you'll find him.
Right. Yeah, I don't think those were CGI.
Well, he was in Friday Night Lights for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah. Moving along. Okay. And I could get into the other cast. But they're all Canadian. This is an all-Canadian cast. Did you see that?
Wow.
Hey. Well, Malcolm McDowell.
Well, okay. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody else is Canadian. This is a Canadian film all the way. So I guess you call it a foreign film, if you want to get technical.
Yeah. I mean, they're Canadian, too, right? The Cronenbergs are Canadian.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, a really interesting cast. Certainly an interesting lead. So we'll get into that. As in all the films that we review, it inspires a top three. This is no different.
Right.
God, let me see if I can say this right. This inspired our top three ill-advised breakthroughs in science in movies. Did I say that right?
It's not close enough.
That sounds like an Oscar award.
Well,
it's a Q award.
It looks better when it's written out. But this is bad. Science gone bad in films.
Basically.
Science gone awry.
Science gone awry. All right, so that's it, man. That's the show tonight. Antiviral, as queued up by David Schultz. And our top three, science done gone bad.
Done gone wrong.
All right, so let's talk about the ratings here. IMDb, 5.6. What do you think of that, Max?
I think that's a little low.
Think it's a little low?
A little low.
Yeah, a little low. Rotten Tomatoes, critics, 65. And man, what users? Jeez.
54?
Put this thing in a Petri dish. This thing has salmonella on it, which is a virus.
Yeah, herpes simplex.
Users give it 40.
What was it, 40?
I had to laugh at that. Yeah, users give 40 on Rotten Tomatoes. Critics, 65. Hmm.
Surprised.
All right, well, let's move along here. Talk about what this film is. Brief synopsis. Take a break. Listen to a trailer. Come back. Tell you what we thought. Here's what you have. Sid March, played by relative newcomer Caleb Landry Jones, is an employee at a clinic who specializes in selling viruses harvested from celebrities to their obsessed fans. In what can be described as some sort of a biological communion, the obsessed inject themselves with a sickness in order to feel closer to their idols. Unbeknownst to his employer, Sid has been smuggling illegal samples of these viruses to piracy groups by injecting them into his own body. When he becomes infected with the disease that kills super sensation Hannah Geist, Sid becomes a target for collectors and rabid fans. He must unravel the mystery surrounding her death before he suffers the same fate.
Ooh.
I'm not feeling so well.
Fame. Glamour. Perfection. What if you could find it all at the tip of a needle? Here at the Lucas Clinic, we strive to bring you closer to celebrity than ever before. With samples drawn directly from the source, you can be connected in ways you never imagined.
Do you not agree that the mania surrounding celebrity is reaching an unhealthy level?
No, I don't. My clients want to feel more connected to those people that they see in the magazines and on television.
Enjoy.
So far, I've had all her diseases.
Must have been expensive.
Is there any way you could spread it?
What happened to Hannah Geist?
It's pretty shocking.
Okay, so there you go. There's a trailer from the 2012 film that we're talking about tonight, Antiviral, from writer-director Brandon Cronenberg. Hoodie, that Brandon Cronenberg. You know what I'm talking about? The son of David Cronenberg.
I don't know him. I don't even really know his dad that well. But I'll go with it.
You're not on the mailing list.
Yeah, well, that's for the audience.
I don't celebrate his collection.
No.
As some of us do.
You're just a fly on the wall when it comes to his
We always did the fly. You can't go back to it.
Yeah, I see on Max's list that it's crossed off. So
yeah.
Yeah, we need a tally. All right, well, let's talk about this film, guys. This is one that a lot of people wanted us to get into. And it's been out for a couple of years, so on Netflix. Wanted to get to it before it went away. So thank you, David Schultz, by the way, for queuing this one up. Let's talk a little bit about, did you know, Max, Gumbo Johnson, did you know that all of the close-up shots of needles
of
entering the skin? They were real.
They looked real. Yeah.
They looked real. I looked that up. I was like, that looked real. And, like, to my surprise, they were.
Hoodie. Nope. Did you know that Brandon Cronenberg said this? I didn't see his films until later in life. Growing up around them and around him, I think I've been mostly too close to them to be influenced in the usual way. But my earliest memories are going to the set of The Fly. Nice childhood.
Mm. Well, it's a cool set if you think about it. I mean, the laboratory, and then I guess the rest of it's just fairly regular set.
I wonder kind of if it was like the kid from The Shining that didn't really know what was going on. He's like, oh, no, it's a drama. It's a historical drama. Just go with it.
That's the only way you can get a kid to the set, yeah. Make cute little things with your finger.
You're doing fantastic.
That would have been the greatest childhood ever to go. Your earliest memory is growing up on the set of The Fly.
Set of The Fly.
With all the animatronics and the gross-out special effects, that would have been like Nirvana to me.
That would have opened up your imagination at an early age.
No, it would have been like opening up my sexuality. I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Famous there that did that.
Got a little weird.
This is totally awesome. Gina Davis, you're hot.
Yeah.
I'm in love.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more to that
super
interview.
Smart.
And got weird
and
all of a sudden.
Kill you with an arrow.
There's more to that interview. I'm sure he didn't disclose all of his information. All right, so there you go, a little bit of did you know. Actually, one more thing, too. I wasn't really into horror movies as a kid, so he says. Even though I'm not a huge horror fan, I grew up with a healthy interest in science and biology. And did you know that David Cronenberg has a huge interest in science and biology? How would you figure that out?
From Brandon? Watching his movies?
Yeah, right.
That's the power of science.
Apparently, science. The acorn and the tree thing here, you know. So is Brandon. Let's talk about currency, because, you know, we don't do thumbs up, thumbs down.
Oh, you know? 1 to 10.
That's stupid.
It's dumb.
No stars. We let the film dictate how we're going to rate it. And this week, I think, Hoodie, you threw this out there. I like it. Are we going to go with red freckles?
It's the only thing I can think of. I can't. There is nothing else. That's all I noticed in this whole movie.
Producer.
It's a like white wall and red freckles.
Yeah, that's all you can see in this movie.
All right, we're going to get into our ratings. Let's do this real quick, guys. Got a lot of stuff we've got to get into. We're going to let David Schultz, old Schultzy.
Schultzy.
Let's tell you what he had to say. Here's his take and his rating. We'll do the same, then we'll get into the heart of this film. Schultz says, in the age of the internet and around-the-clock celebrity media attention, fandomonium has reached an unhealthy level of absurdness and is at an all-time high in today's society. Director Brandon Cronenberg, in his feature debut, takes these ideas and injects them, nicely done, into a story that is brimming with a sickness that is both visually striking and original. This film grabbed me for its obvious social commentary, its originality, its visual storytelling, and the incredibly talented Caleb Landry Jones, who is in almost every shot of this film. And it's not very often that you see a character go through such a physical and emotional transformation, as well as cinematographer Kareem Hussein, who also deserves a mention, as I love the way this film was shot and the color palettes with which it presents.
Yeah.
It's hard to deny the impressive talent of Cronenberg and Jones in this film. While Hollywood regurgitates anything and everything these days, I find it to be a gift when such a film is released, takes risks, challenges the viewer to question things as well. I give this 7 out of 10 red freckles.
All right.
All right, so that's it. Let's get around to ours as well. Who should we go with first? I don't want to go first. What do you say?
I'll go first. I don't go. Mind.
Adam was actually about to speak up there.
I was going to say that I agree with Schultz. I'm giving this a 7.
He jumps in there. He's going to go with 7 what?
Yeah, red freckles.
Okay, you want to save your spiel till we get to you? Want to get
yeah,
a little something?
Sure,
else?
Why not?
No, go. Let's now. Go now.
7 to 10.
Adams never went first.
I like that.
Why not? I've gone first.
Are you feeling well? Do you have a virus? Are you? Yeah, okay.
He's got the black lung.
Do not turn and cough. Oh. But turn to your right.
Oh,
and
God.
Max, cough up your
I'm going to go 6 red freckles on this movie.
6 red freckles.
6 okay. red freckles.
6 red freckles.
And we'll keep it at that for right now.
We'll see where it goes. Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint. What you going to go with, man?
I'm trying to go with you guys, but I'm sticking at a four. I mean, okay. I really can't justify going above a four. I fell asleep twice in this movie and had to rewind it to find my place again. It's just, it didn't do it for me at all.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, in synchronicity.
I know. You owe me a Coke.
You know, we were like a couple of dead ringers. Right?
Enough of that. Stuff. We've already done that one.
We have a six. We have a seven. We have a four. We have James Hard Sub Savage.
I'm gonna have to go with a seven. It's can't go more than, I mean, it's a soft seven, so I may be talked down.
It's hanging by a thread on seven. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's me, right? I'm up.
Yeah.
Your turn.
I round it up. I'm gonna go with I'm somewhere between a six and a seven. I'm gonna go with six for now, and we'll see where it goes. I liked how the film was put together, for sure, but what it was put together with, that's something to talk about.
Right.
And lands us a solid 30.
Solid 30, but we could go up, we could go down.
30 red freckles. That'll barely cover this dude's shoulder.
That's like not even on a hand.
Yeah, it's like one finger.
It's like a thumb.
It's less than my arms.
This dude was freckleicious.
Listen, he's a talented guy. Don't tick him
this
off.
This dude looked like he swallowed a dollar bill and broke out in pennies.
Stop it. Oh, my God. yeah. All right, well, that leads us back to you there, Gumbo. Gumbo Johnson. Go ahead.
I'll tell you right now, it was half of a good movie. Actually, I'll take that back. It was half of a great movie. The couple of things I liked that struck me right off the bat. You know it's Brandon Cronenberg. You know it's David Cronenberg's son. And he did not shy away from being a Cronenberg. Yeah. He totally jumped into being a Cronenberg. This could have been a David Cronenberg film. And it was a pretty original, auspicious idea to make a movie about this. And it was incredible to look at. It was well done, especially for a guy's first movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd done any shorts or anything before that.
A couple.
But, I mean, for this being his first major release, this is pretty impressive. But, like I said again, it was half of a good movie. The ideas presented in the first part were fantastic. They were great. As soon as they got into that conspiracy part about the virus.
Yeah, the whodunit.
Yeah, I'm totally with you.
I was like, what? Why did they have to go there? They really could have simplified this and made it a bit more of a straightforward narrative. Maybe had some little of a plot device to make it a little bit of a mystery. But that whole thing with the developing the virus in China and smuggling it back over. Yep. I was like, come on. You're really reaching a little bit there. Once I got to that point, I was like, I totally lost interest.
Yeah.
And I literally had to force myself to watch it again to get through those last 45 minutes.
Did it pick up anything to its favor the second time?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did for me too.
It was way better the second time, but saying it's way better the second time is not much of a compliment.
Yeah, I might be completely on the same page with you because in the end, I agree with everything, but it's still what they put out there for you just to look at was still pretty good.
Oh, it's gorgeous
from movie. From that end, but yeah, you're on. Yeah, I'm completely on the same page with you for the most part. I'll tell you a little more in a minute, but I'll go over to Adam here real
Who's
quick.
Next,
sure. Adam, I'll do you it. Gave. I think
go,
you're.
Adam.
I
go
think bomb. You're high up the scale here. Yeah. Seven. What you got?
First of all, I want to say this was a fantastic original story. I love the concept of this whole movie. When I went into it, first thing I wanted to go was I'm not going to compare this to Cronenberg or his dad,
right,
David. And unfortunately, the first thing I started thinking about, here it goes into Shivers. It's right. The first thing that popped in my head about it. It's like, ugh. And then I started getting out of that a little bit until the one scene where they're showing the him and the wires and the little grill in his mouth. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's so Cronenberg. Yeah. So
it was the most Cronenberg thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And but I still loved the movie up to that. But it got to the ending, and then it started getting – it just got so long.
Yeah,
it's like you could have shortened this down easily to an hour and a half, and I would have been a lot happier with the movie.
Yeah, it was a little long.
Other than that, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great concept.
Yeah, certainly from a conceptual standpoint. The story, the storyboard aspect of it, here's the big idea, not bad.
Yeah,
Hoodie, we're getting time to lower the bar just a bit here. You gave it four. What's going on?
Hoodie's up to speak. Let's lower the bar.
I mean, lower the number, but raise – lower the number, but raise
right,
the bar.
All right. Yeah. Like I said last time, this is a movie that's been sitting in my queue forever, so I was pretty excited to actually jump in and take a look at it. I thought the premise was interesting enough at least to put in my queue, but it just didn't go anywhere that I had hoped that it would go. I thought that the metaphor of the celebrity thing was going to like right off the top of my head, I thought it was basically going to infect the population as a metaphor, you know, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. I just thought that it was just a lot of shock value, and I really didn't like whatever his name is.
Caleb Landry-Jones? You didn't care for that performance?
I didn't like him at all in this movie, at all.
Interesting.
I didn't like him. I didn't like his look in this. I just didn't feel like – it felt like they just kind of plugged him in. I thought any other actor, I would have expected maybe a more clean-cut guy to be doing kind of this kind of thing. The ponytail kept throwing me
off.
There
was a lot of ponytails in this film.
I did not dig it.
See, that aesthetic worked for me. I thought he looked good in this film.
Actually, I want to go one more thing. You know, this is supposed to be set in the future and everything.
Was it?
I hate
near future. It's dystopian.
All the white rooms really got on my nerves on a little bit.
Okay.
And again, Adam being Adam.
Yeah. I have a take on that.
Well, that's nothing. What Adam's saying, that's nothing that's like crazy original. The white rooms and penicillin-y feel, I guess, too. And then you got his crappy apartment.
But it wasn't.
But it's all white.
What do you mean it wasn't?
With a little
it wasn't.
Clear glass refrigerator.
All right, so there was no furniture in there. There were no pictures on the wall.
But you know there's a reason for that.
No, it was as sterile as his work environment.
It needed to be as sterile on the outside. There's something bubbling up underneath all this sterileness and cleanness.
Okay.
There's something dirty underneath.
All I'm saying is that's not an original concept.
No.
That's literally all I'm saying. So doesn't bring anything new to the table, really. No.
But you didn't like, so the performance you didn't care for too much.
Not really, no.
You liked the big idea. You thought it had a place to go, but it didn't get there.
Honestly, I really didn't dig the idea that much. I thought that was the strongest part of the movie. Mm-hmm. I thought they could have done a lot more with it on more of a grandiose scale, I guess. Maybe if they had some more money. I really don't know. But I was expecting it to go, you know, population-wise. So just give me something. You know, threaten my life.
Hey,
I can pick up
what you're laying down. Yeah. You know, Max and I think we're kind of on the same page. Where, you know, it's pretty impressive for a first-time out director. Did you think that it looked not put together well? Did it seem tight to you from a director's standpoint?
Some of the shots were really nice. I really liked the thermometer scenes. I liked that how that kind of echoed through the movie.
Yeah,
that was nice. Most of the other shots, just I didn't notice the directing, which means it was pretty good directing.
Yeah, it's usually a good
sign.
I'll
say that. Yeah.
I want
to. You want to inject
something here, right here, on top of what Matt was saying about the Caleb Landry Jones guy. I think the big problem I had with him in the movie was he was supposed to look sicker and sicker and sicker throughout the movie, but he was such a pasty white fellow at the beginning of the movie when he was quote-unquote healthy.
But he'd been doing that for a while, too.
Yeah, but they kept commenting, oh, wow, you look really sick. Well, he looks just like he did at the beginning of the movie.
He became more disheveled.
Well, he started walking with a cane.
Some of that didn't seem right.
If they'd have had some guy that had a little more robust features and maybe a little bit of a color to him.
Like Christian Bale.
Yeah, Christian Bale. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Or Hugh Jackman or some guy with a tan, maybe.
Right. Like, something to obviously show that there's something going on here.
There's something, this guy's really degrading and really getting a pasty, bad color.
Hard sub, Savage. You gave this a 7 hanging lightly. What are you going to go with here?
Yeah, I thought it was very slick. The cinematography of it, the Kerem Jones or the Kerem Hussein or whatever his name is, the cinematography was great. It was a really well put together film. It looked really slick.
There was a lot of care into this film.
I really liked the dichotomy of the sanitary look on the surface of it, but you knew that there was this dirt, this grime underneath. It was always just bubbling right underneath there. I like how it didn't feel so far removed from our future. It almost seemed like achievable. And the obvious metaphor in the allegory was a little heavy-handed, you know, that the celebrity obsession is the sickness of the culture.
Yeah.
And then we're directly injecting the sickness of the celebrity into the culture. Yeah. I mean, that I like the idea. I think it's an original idea. Mm-hmm. And I think it had room to grow.
Yeah.
You know?
Had room to fester.
Incubate, some would say.
But it is such an original idea. I think that's where the movie failed a little bit. Is like you couldn't, they didn't know what to do with that. And so then they got all these subplots with the corporate espionage, and then it turns into the whodunit. And like Max says, the second half of the film, you know, you present this whole atmosphere, this whole sense of dread, this foreboding, this cultural phenomenon that's happening. And then the weight of that kind of collapsed on itself. And then you go to these tropes of, is like the the corporate espionage. It's, oh, it's now it's a mystery, and you know, and then you go into these contrived kind of plot devices,
right?
Which worked. I like Caleb Jones. I thought he was very well cast in this, and I really picked up the degradation of his character throughout the entire film. The biggest problem with this film that I found is that there is not a single person here that you sympathize with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the celebrities are set up to be this unrealized thing, and it's almost a sickness that if you sympathize with the celebrities, you're sick.
Yeah.
You can't sympathize with anybody who wants to get sick with the celebrities, and you can't sympathize with anybody who's selling the sickness.
Yeah, even your protagonist really wasn't justified.
No. And he's almost the antagonist because he's perpetuating the cultural sickness.
And then he kicks it up a notch at the end, so that's like the ultimate protagonist slash antagonist anti-hero thing.
And it just drags on. It's like the second half is like they didn't know. Mm-hmm. They got all these subplots going.
Yeah.
And didn't know how to close it out. And the end fell flat for me.
Yeah.
I think that's the main problem with the movie is they had this great concept. We're selling these celebrity viruses, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I said, okay, we're going to build this up. We're going to build this up. We're going to build this up. Okay, now what do we do? I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's say it was a genetic thing for wartime or something.
Let's throw some steaks in there.
Okay, cool. Let's do that.
I like the steaks. Yeah.
Let's go to Logan's.
I did like that part.
I hated the steaks.
I did like
that part. Really, you guys liked the steak part.
I really liked it. They kicked that aspect of the celebrity worship up just one more notch.
That you should eat their flesh.
The main problem I has was where they just went to that level of
contrivance.
That espionage, that contrived thing.
But you know, like, also, I did like how the relevancy of it to, it did play very well against what's going on out there today. I mean, I did feel like it was a relevant film.
Sure. Oh, totally relevant.
You know, and I kind of like that. You know, I'm between a 6 and a 7. It kind of pushes me and pulls me in different directions. Mm-hmm. This one, I don't know which way to go. Like you, Max, I thought it was, from a director standpoint, pretty impressive. Go back and again saying that it needed another rewrite, I think, from the writing aspect of it. It was just like you said, they showed up, kind of ran out of gas halfway through it. I did like how much of it was put together, and like I say, I don't really like what it was put together with at times. It never really bored me. I mean, it was befuddled a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's kind of like putting something together without tightening down the bolts. Like if you get something out of the box, whatever, you put it down, but you don't tighten up, it's kind of wobbly.
Right.
Right? And it just kind of wobbled along in its dialogue a little bit, in its narrative. It felt too long. Although the last scene, maybe the last 5 minutes of the film, kind of brought me back in. It kind of boosted it up a little bit for me. Maybe not you, but you know, for me it did.
Well, you felt that's how they had to wrap it up.
Right.
And I'll give them that the wrap-up was almost as original as the concept.
Yeah, the wrap-up. That's a good word. That's what that kind of boosted it just a bit for me at the end.
But that third...
It's those 45 minutes in between.
Yeah, it's those 45 minutes in between. But you know, what I liked about it was just the design. Once again, the visuals. I like that sterile little Petri dish.
I did too.
That the story took place in. Yes, it's not original. It's been done before. But still, it worked really well here. And I thought they used it to its advantage throughout the whole thing. I mean, it's hyper-white, clean exterior. Yeah. Right? I mean, there wasn't a speck of dust in any frame.
No, the black market got a little dirty.
Well, sure, and then, yeah.
You know, go figure.
Yeah.
But black market's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
But you know what? I knew what they were doing, but it still heightened all of the little accents and all the grime that was bubbling underneath.
Sure.
I know exactly why it was there. It just worked for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good film to look at, and I liked Landry Jones in this. I thought that his aesthetic, the red freckles and all that played against it, made for an interesting watch for me. You know, the acting was good. Cronenberg's good first step here. That's the way I'm going to say it.
We're saying this is such an original idea, though, but I mean, we've heard for years how the celebrity has infested, you know, the...
As a metaphor.
Everyday, it's been a metaphor for years. So this idea, this original idea, as we've all called it, it's really not that original. This way, that this take on it where they just kicked it up a notch.
They did kick it up a notch.
Well, so,
that's what makes it original.
I'm going to call it a little bit more original than what you're saying. I hadn't seen
it. I don't think it's like crazy original. I mean, we're buying Britney Spears' hair off the floor for obscene amounts of money.
Not me. Yeah, and Elvis' poo.
Right, not me. So where's that guy in the movie? Well, where's the not me guy?
They sold Britney Spears' underwear one time on eBay or something like that.
That's still not a part of her body. Her hair
is... I'm sure there's a virus infected somewhere.
Well, listen, let's take a break. Let's do a real quick clip of this film. Just give you a taste, a little bit of flavor. Infect you just a tad. We'll come back and get into some of these scenes.
If you'll permit me to make a recommendation, that's 5'5"-8". Expensive, but a must-have for the truly devoted. Miss Gash was afflicted during a much publicized affair with Laura Law in 2003. We purchased it from her soon after.
That's 558?
Yes. Form of the herpes simplex virus. After infection, the virus lives on in the cells of its hosts for the rest of their life.
Did you know she's deformed? You can't tell from the magazines.
We're talking about the 2012 film Antiviral from writer-director Brandon Cronenberg. Let's talk about some of these scenes, guys. Let's get into that. Gotta Talk About.
Yeah.
Let's go over to Gotta Talk About with Adam, the producer. The
Adam
Bomb.
The Bomb.
You think about this film, Gotta Talk About. What?
Just that one scene where he's with all the wires are coming out of
the
him.
The scene. That scene was actually a drawing that Brandon Cronenberg did when he was 12 years old.
Get out of here.
That is
but he wasn't influenced by his dad at all. Come on.
Not at all. Yeah. Well, rip off your dad. Try to
oh, come
original.
On. I'm not going to rip
that
the guy
for that.
That
was his drawing when he was 12 years old, and he put it in the film.
That's
he,
fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's where that comes from.
It didn't make any sense.
Yeah. They tried to say it's a hallucination with the infection.
He had bruises on his arm.
He bled through
for
his
the rest
mouth
of the movie. It was just
all this other
yeah. yeah. Yeah.
But that's the only reason. I mean, it did seem out of place, and it did seem weird, but that he actually drew that thing when he was 12 years old.
Where'd you hear that?
I read it in some review, you know, researching this thing. Okay.
Well, that kind of charms me a bit. Here's a guy's first project. He's coming into the film with everything that he has from his past, his dad's influence, his own art, his own ideas. That's okay.
Yeah,
what do you think?
My first movie is going to have a tree with a sunset in it.
Mine's going to have a happy face.
Oh, mine's going to have Devo.
It will have Devo.
And Frank Zappa.
And Frank Zappa, yeah.
The story of Devo, yeah. That'll be your first feature
Frank
film.
Zappa, Devo mashup.
Tell us what you have to talk about there, Gumbo. Got to talk about what?
The whole face thing. What do they call it? Face maker?
The ready face.
The ready face.
Ready face.
Yeah. I thought that was stupid.
I thought it was awful.
I thought that was the dumbest thing ever. It's like, this is just being weird.
Yeah.
And putting some
that was kind of Cronenberg-y
thing on it to be silly.
Quick, give me an explanation.
Well, no, it wasn't Cronenberg-y because in David Cronenberg's movies, a lot of that stuff has a background that you can understand in the context of the film. This.
Like Videodrome?
Well, yeah, like Videodrome, yeah, which I loved.
Right.
Anyway.
Mark it off the list.
Let's stop talking about David Cronenberg. Let's start talking about his son here. Right. I thought that was just dumb. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I can understand them saying we can manipulate a virus to be non-contagious so we can sell it within hours instead of days. But to assign a face to it,
and then manipulate the face, that just didn't make sense.
Even
from like an advertising standpoint, if I'm going to smack a face on a box that's of a celebrity, why would it be somebody else's face?
And those faces,
that was so he could not. Marketed to someone else. It became trademarked at that
point. I got that point. But to say we can mask it with a face like a fingerprint, why a face? Why not just give it a number like they did eventually? Well, like S916 or whatever.
It's dystopian, and it was stupid. Shock value.
No, but Max is right. It really made no sense.
It was just weird for weird's sake.
What you're trying to explain was dumb.
It was stupid. That was completely stupid.
You're talking about a six, though, so you also kind of have an upswing for this film. Talk about one good thing that kind of bumped it up from the middle. Maybe a scene.
A couple good things. I'll give you a couple good things. First off, I've already said this, the basic premise of this, which I know you said it was not original, but this was completely original to me. I heard about this. I was like, that's crazy, selling viruses and sicknesses of celebrities, which if you could do that right now, I bet you people would line up in drones.
I thought about that during this horrifying thing.
Oh, I can't wait to have Kim Kardashian's cellulite injected into my ass.
I can't imagine that we live in that world now. I just can't
we
even.
We do.
I'm not saying. No, there's no way.
Is there any celebrity y'all would have any type of virus?
I'm not even going to toy with that.
No. I want Estelle Getty's gout.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I want Abe Vigoda's DNA so I can live forever as fish.
Yeah, okay.
The one thing. And this sort of strays away from one of the parts that I did not like about the movie was sort of that double cross where he goes to get the part for his face machine, face maker, whatever,
face.
The ready face.
Ari, his friend Ari.
Yeah. And they take that little sample of skin from him.
Yeah.
And that was weird. They just totally betray the guy and leave him sleeping on the sidewalk. Yeah. That seemed like, of course, it was a pivotal.
But that's when it turned into the heist thing.
It was a pivotal point in the movie, but it was a well-done scene, and I liked the way they portrayed that and the way they pulled that off.
Hey, I want to talk to Hoodie here. The stakes. Then it goes into a whole other aspect of, wow, they're selling viruses. My God, They're selling steaks. You have Logan's Roadhouse now kicking out, you know, Mickey Rooney burgers. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. 3 ounces on the house. Yeah,
exactly. God, I mean, they're taking these cells. And once again, you bring up a point. There are many times during this film I'm watching it going, that would probably sell today. This is not fiction anymore. No. What did you think of that whole end of it?
I thought it was awful.
Why?
Well, first off, we can do, you know, you look at farm-raised salmon. They're not wild-caught, so they lose the pink. So we throw in a little pink color to make it look like salmon. Why would we not do that with celebrity steaks, people? That doesn't make any sense.
To me, I thought about that, and I thought, well, that just shows you how much much you're willing to go to that end.
I'm eating a gray pile of whatever this thing is. Yeah. I just couldn't get on board.
It looks like tofu to me.
I couldn't get on the board with a lot of this movie. I just can't believe that as a society that you guys say we live in now, I don't live in that society.
Well,
I got to give people bent. And I'm the most pessimistic guy ever. I got to say that no. People will not eat their favorite celebrities. They will not do that.
Max, you're
the second most pessimistic guy in the world.
So,
let
Matt,
me put
whose
that
sausage
up.
Would you eat?
All right. I'm going to cut that.
I think that stays.
You're the second most pessimistic guy in the world behind me because I totally think if somebody could say, I would love to have a piece of you know, some of these stupid, vapid reality stars. And that's the kind of people they're talking about here.
No, absolutely.
I completely get it, but I can't imagine. All right, that goes right to the scene that I want to talk about, which is the last scene where this kid's supposed to make the transformation, even like Schultz was talking about. There's no transformation. This kid just.
No.
He had, you know. It's a different addiction. He was almost killed by this thing, and he's like, hey, you know what would make this even better? And it's
keep
like,
it
what,
going.
What happened there? And then everybody leaves the room. He pours blood into the body, by the way.
Yeah.
And then cuts it and drinks the blood. I was like, what the?
You know, I like that scene. There's something about that last frame. I'm going to call it the last frame.
Yeah.
Somehow I thought, okay, you just put an exclamation point on this thing because the story doesn't end here. It's regressing into something even more. It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It's going to more and more and more. And at the end, you felt like there was no way out. Even the people that know what they're selling are completely addicted to it.
He made that whole deal to live. He said, is there a cure to this virus? And they said, well, no, it'd be too expensive. He said, well, I got an idea. I'll make a deal with you.
Right.
And that was his deal because he had the cells to make the new body.
Okay.
And blah, 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 blah. I did like that last scene because I thought it brought the whole thing full circle.
Yeah.
I just didn't like that 45 minutes in between it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody felt that way. If you look at the reviews of this film and the people that talk about it, it seems like there's a big lump that you can't quite choke down in the middle.
Yeah, no,
but you feel the same way.
Yeah, it turns from it takes this what is I believe a fairly original idea and a social commentary on the obsession of celebrity and the sickness that does culturally, and then it just turns it into something passé.
It turns it into a John le Carré novel or something.
Yeah. So at least give me both sides of this. Show me the guys in the picket line being like, this is wrong.
Yeah,
this is not cool.
That wouldn't be bad.
It collapsed under its own weight.
And you gave me nothing but the society of people that live with among us, apparently, according to you guys, who would suck the celebrity blood out of steaks.
I think he's got a good point. That it would have been a nice contrast to show people saying, this is morally wrong. This is just like the stem cell controversy. People saying, oh, this is great for society.
Yeah.
And other people saying, oh, this is tantamount to abortion.
I didn't feel enough inner tragedy here. I didn't feel enough people.
Nobody's sympathetic.
I didn't see nobody sympathetic. I wanted to see the global tragedy.
Did you really?
I really thought that this was going to break out into an epidemic. And that it was going to be a metaphor for the celebrity epidemic that we're apparently in right now.
Yeah.
That's because, you know, when the thing happened, to take a word from Adam, thing. But when he got like the death virus and he injected himself and they're saying that these things are made not to be contagious, this one's kind of untamed as of right now. So I was like, okay, so here it goes. This is where it's going to get good. It's going to break out into all the guys like me who don't want to suck blood out of a celebrity and I'm going to get infected by this now. Right. So it's going to like just do a spill out and we're going to have a...
I think where you're going with that would have been a better movie.
Yeah, you know, I was sort of rewriting
that. Totally would have been a better movie.
It would have been.
I would have way rather watched that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things that it could have went in a different path down with it. But, you know, I kind of rewrote this thing in my mind as I was watching, too. And I thought to myself, it would have been nice to see him as some kind of a sacrificial animal here, where all of a sudden he has to inject something. He has to inject this celebrity in order to save someone else.
Right.
Where was the consequence here? I didn't see enough consequence for the actions. I saw a lot of the actions.
No, there was none.
But there was no consequence. I was expecting him to turn around at the end and be like a warning signal to us. Don't do this, guys, you know, and there was going to be something there.
Right. I feel like that's how it should have gone, but the guy, and to his credit, went the complete opposite, you know, way.
Yeah.
But Schultz said that this guy had a major transformation. This guy didn't change one bit at all in this movie.
I agree with Matt. He didn't.
Yeah.
In fact, if he changed anyway, he became more aggressive.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, completely. We're going from a virus to a whole body.
Yeah, and that's a good point Savage brought up, too, that there's really nobody to root for in this film.
No, there's really not. But and here's something I got to talk about real quick. I mean, other than the heavy-handed name of the primary celebrity, Hannah Geist. If you know.
Why is that a heavy-handed name?
Well, Hannah in Hebrew means favorite or favorite of God or favorite. And then Geist in German is ghost or spirit. Ghost. It's the favorite spirit.
Okay.
You know, so there's that.
To me, that's whiskey.
Yeah, but I'll tell you where Brandon Cronenberg got this whole movie, and there's a throwaway line in there about Henrietta Lacks, the woman whose 50-year-old cancer cells are still being perpetuated.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Henrietta Lacks is in 1951 she died of cervical cancer, and they harvested cancer cells from her tumor, and they found out that they won't die. As of today, they've harvested 20 tons. Of her cell that just keeps replicating. Yeah. In essence, she's immortal. It's the first cloned human cell.
That's interesting, Savage.
So these celebrity stakes that show in this film, there's 20 tons of Henrietta Lacks out there. I mean,
so you think the Henrietta Lacks Foundation.org. Okay.
Don't want to talk about the Henrietta Lacks Foundation.
No, but there's a throwaway line in there, and that's exactly where he got this. Okay. The concept of... That's awesome. The perpetuation of a human after the death of the human.
Okay. So you think that's where it originated? Well, obviously, it's because he put that in the film.
Uh-huh. Except he made it a sex toy.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, yeah, nice. That is it, though. It comes down to just a much more needed.
Well, it shows that we're not that far off. This science is not that far off. This could happen. And I think that is what is the scariest part of any type of dystopian story is that it could happen.
And you know what? That is what I was really hoping for at the end, to have this to be, once again, a cautionary tale. I wanted his story to be the warning shot. At the end, I wanted him to somehow fall on his sword to where you go, okay, this is why we shouldn't do this. There was never a reason why we shouldn't go down this path.
No.
It showed the path over and over again, and I did like the way it was shown. Good-looking film. That rewrite was needed.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. There was simply no sympathetic character in this entire film.
Yeah, except the actress. I mean, we've said no sympathetic character. I really did kind of go a little bit towards her.
Okay, there you go.
Hannah?
Why not? What?
She pretty much prostituted herself out for
She sold her body, but I mean, she was the most sympathetic character in the movie is what I'm saying.
She was the only sympathetic character in the movie.
I would say she was sympathetic, honestly.
I do, yeah.
Well, she is the favorite spirit.
Nicely said.
Of Matt.
of somebody, yeah.
And she was, I'm going to go with the viral Kochek girl.
But she prostituted herself out twice because she made that video where he walks into the little store and she's like, what do you want from me? Let me out of here. Do you want me to use my body and blah, 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 blah.
She was apparently, sort of was.
Yeah. She was.
I forgot about that
scene.
She
was famous for the sake of being famous.
Man, they sure tried to cram a lot of stuff into this film. Now that you bring that up.
They did.
Yeah.
They really did.
It was like, get the shoehorn and just keep packing it in.
They could have done so much. They could have leaned it out so much more with those 45 minutes.
This film needed a hero. The virus won in this, and I didn't like that. But I did like how it was put together. Give me something else to put it together with. Anything else? Well, you guys want to wrap it up?
Actually, I want to say that I was
pleasantly
surprised that Malcolm McDowell was in here.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his creepiness when he realized he had these like little skin strips.
Yeah. Okay, I forgot about that part.
That was like, okay, you're very obsessive.
This is a marquee name, and we're not even talking about him. I guess that doesn't say a lot for the cast or for the write or for the screenplay here. But I forgot about him. What did you think of his character here, Matt?
Not that interesting.
Yeah, apparently unsympathetic as well. He was in on the whole deal.
I mean, it really would have been more interesting if he was against all of this.
If he was the conscience.
If he was just doing this for like a paycheck or something. Mm-hmm. But when he whipped out his arm and said, oh, this is from here. I was like,
totally different experience.
That
was the thing.
I mean, that's not to interrupt, but that's a really good opportunity to like you said, dump in a conscience on the whole thing. That would have been, that's a very missed.
You know, I'm trying to go
no
back.
Jiminy Cricket to this.
No, there's no Jiminy Cricket, nicely said.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go back and remember how I felt at these scenes. And I remember specifically saying, okay, here comes the cautionary, don't do this, you're going, you know, son, let me tell you how it should be kind of thing. And he's just like him.
Yeah.
That bothered me.
Yeah, and I thought the skin grafts looked fake.
They look like Band-Aids.
I thought they looked good. I didn't like that special effect at all.
I didn't mind them.
I mean, really, aesthetically, they look fine to me.
Okay.
Different shades.
Real quick, I'm with Matt on that. Here you come, you're sitting there watching the movie, and you don't know anything about what's going on in this movie, and Malcolm McDowell shows up. And by the way, he had white sunglasses on, if you didn't notice. And then you're just completely underwhelmed.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's Malcolm McDowell.
I was excited.
I wasn't excited. I like the guy, too. I think he's great. But he shows up, and you're like, okay, I'm waiting for something to happen here. And he just plays a doctor.
Yeah, he petered out.
Yeah, not the wise guy. Not the wise old man.
Big contribution. Here's some antivirals. This will slow it down.
I thought he was going to temper the craziness with let's get back down
with a little bit of conscience.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. Didn't happen. Nothing happened.
Yeah, but you know, pretty film to look at. A lot of white rooms.
Yeah,
a lot of big faces.
Yeah. A lot of white rooms with black curtains.
Right. A lot of dirty Sanchez's. Yep, there was one big one.
You know, I think we're going to keep it. We're fine. All right, but let's end it here. Let's talk about this real quick now. Brandon Cronenberg, first film. Would you see his next? Is there potential? What?
Well, with David Cronenberg, I love half of his films and hate the other half, so I'm definitely wanting to see what he can do.
Yeah,
so I'm ready to go for it.
Can't wait to see what he does.
Yeah, I think
this shows a lot of promise.
Yeah, he's got an imagination.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him that.
I think he tried to go all realms here. Let me write. Let me produce. Mm-hmm. Let me direct. You can direct, kid. Let's see what you can do with a different script, right? What about you, Savage? You anxious to see his next work?
I will. I was really impressed by the direction of this. It was well cast, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Landry Jones was, I mean, he's the what you watch in this film.
If they ever make a movie about Shaun White or a remake of Children of the Corn, he's the guy.
And he's got a style. He's got a style. And if he uses his same crew, I'll watch it.
Hoodie.
No, I'm not excited to see anything else. I'm sure that I won't not see it because he did it, but I'm not going to like seek it out.
It doesn't make you want to queue up the next thing he puts out there.
I probably won't queue
it up.
It's
like, ooh, yeah, this is Brandon Cronenberg. I think so, man. I mean, you know, it's easy to dismiss the guy and say, well, he's Cronenberg's kid. It's going to be more Cronenberg. I thought he stood on his own here. You know, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I'm all about it. So there you go. There's our breakdown of the 2012 film Antiviral from writer-director Brandon Cronenberg. Let's get into our top three, guys. Top three, you know what it is. Top three brought to you by Audible.com. But I want to tell them what the top three is. Top three bad science gone wrong in films.
Bad science gone wrong? I'd say it was top three noble efforts gone wrong in science and film.
I like this. Top three noble efforts.
Bites you in the ass.
Still sounds like an Oscar award to me.
Whatever.
That's good.
It's science you don't want to do. Right. Yeah, our top three, and that's what that is. Brought to you by Audible.com. And here you go for you, the listeners of the Q Filmcast. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You'd have to be sick not to take advantage of that. You would have to have something seriously medically wrong with you, like a virus, to not go to our website, click on the upper right-hand corner, and try a 30-day free trial. Max, what's
free? It's free.
What do you have to lose? It's the cure to your sickness.
You could die in 30 days.
If you like to read and you're sick of it, you get this, and you're cured.
Yeah.
If your eyes hurt, Eastern promises.
Yeah.
Your brain hurts.
Yep.
It's free. Okay, it's free. You go there, you try the service for 30 days from our site, theqfilmcast.net, and check out anything you want. It's all there. 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, whatever you want at audible.com. Link in the upper right-hand corner. That gives us our top three for tonight, brought to you by Audible. And that is science done gone bad.
Science fails.
I don't know what you call it.
Science is stupid.
I think you get the point.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I want to go over to my right. I want to lead this off because it's just a way to punch it all together, isn't it?
You know he's got all the right answers.
You know he probably has a plethora of answers.
A plethora, Adam.
I think every one of his films is based on bad science.
Do you know what a plethora is, Adam?
Plethora. Yeah, it was a would villain of Godzilla, right?
Would you say I have a plethora of sweaters?
Plethora versus Godzilla?
Adam, why don't you leave?
I did not go with Godzilla.
I can't believe this.
I had to talk him out of it.
Yes, we argued half the day on this.
As a matter of fact, I thought you were going to say Gojira.
Gojira. It's Jira.
Yeah, that's in America. We say Godzilla. Right.
I say give me. I say give me your number three.
What I want to go classics on the all mine. So I'm going to go with an Invisible Man.
That is a classic. I thought it was like Meatball Machine. It's classic to him.
That's science gone right, isn't it?
No, he went crazy.
He turned invisible, James.
Okay.
He went crazy, and a lot of things happened. Okay.
Number three, Invisible Man. Let's go over to Savage. Number three, what you got?
Trusting your henchman named Igor to get a brain for your reanimated corpse, and he brings back Abby Normal. That's a fail. Don't use Abby Normal's brain for your reanimated corpse.
So what movie are you talking about?
Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein.
You like to call him Abby something.
Abby something. Abby guys, Normal. Man,
I have not seen that film in 25 years. I need to revisit that.
I hadn't seen it in 25 days.
That's a fail.
Max, it looks like you haven't shaved in 25 days, so give me your number three.
I haven't shaved in like 6 weeks.
God, that's a beautiful beard. Give me your number three.
Okay, on my top three, just to qualify mine here, I went with stuff that was catastrophic, not just bad for one person.
Right.
This was catastrophic for everyone.
Global.
So that's why I picked these top three.
Okay.
My number three, and I hated to do this, not a great movie, but it was catastrophic. It was I Am Legend. Cure for cancer turned into a vague, a virus-killing plague that turned everyone into vampires except for like four people. I could have won a lot of things, but I won I Am Legend, so shut up.
I like that movie.
The Vincent Price stuff.
What, Last Man on Earth?
Yes.
I could have also gone the Charlton Heston one where we went and watched Woodstock all the time. Omega Man. But they didn't explain those aspects in those movies, so I had to go I Am Legend.
Wait a second. You called them vampires.
I don't know what they were.
Vampires. Trademark Q Film guy.
I'll go. It wasn't a great movie, but.
Hoodie, what you got for number three?
I got to go The Fly. I think you guys will go a little higher on that one, but that's my number three.
Man, that's talk about a classic.
Yeah, you got to.
Who directed that?
I don't know.
David Cronenberg.
I can't think of the guy's name.
You know what I'm going to go with my number three?
The Flea.
The Flea. Is there a
Tick? The
Flea? No. My number three. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Nice.
Yeah. That was good.
My God, Hoodie, you could step on your children. You could step on them. They're you know what? Running around the house.
At least he didn't blow them up.
Yeah, I hate to with that.
Yeah. Right.
What's more terrifying? I think more shrinking them is better. You can always get out of line.
Well, they get to meet ants.
Yeah. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. That's my number three. Adam, what's your number two, Bomb? Go.
Jekyll and Hyde. Come on.
Yeah.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, if you want to get technical with that.
Yeah.
Which film?
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The original.
Which one?
Barrymore.
Okay.
The Barrymore?
Yeah.
The original, not the Frederick March version. The one that, the only horror movie that won a best Oscar.
I like
actor.
The Barrymore version.
I love this relationship.
Are you crazy? Are you crazy?
Hyde? You want me to do that?
No. No.
You know
I'm going to go Freddy Professor on you?
Okay. The only horror performance that has won an Oscar was Frederick March. And Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and you're going with the Barrymore version.
I love the Barrymore version.
You are insane.
Well, going over to you, Hard Sub, you're number two. What's it going to be?
Yeah, it's when you insist on playing a game of global thermonuclear war instead of a nice
Would
game
you like
of
to
chess.
Play that?
Yeah.
And
Wait a second.
More games.
Why does that not work for me? Is that science?
It's not organic. Science.
Absolutely, it's science.
I'm thinking biological science.
Right, right.
But it's still science.
It's still science.
Because that was on my list. War games, I've got to go with my war game.
Okay, so I'm trumped.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're trumped. You're
you do agree with that?
I
okay.
Guess so.
All right. That's bad.
That's just some weird science.
That's good science.
Whoa.
Play a nice game of chess.
Let me see. We're going over to Max. And you would take a shower with a beautiful woman while wearing your jeans. I know you would. So give
me
your number two.
Let me tell you my problem, Fats. My number two, 12 Monkeys.
Time travel. That's another bad.
Well, but it's not only time travel.
It's the disease.
It's the disease because those damn people from PETA with their stupid ideas let all the monkeys go and created havoc on Earth, and it was a created virus. Again, more of these created viruses.
Yeah. Same with 28 Days Later.
Why do monkeys and viruses always go together?
Peas and carrots. Peas and carrots.
We inject monkeys with virus.
There you go. There's so many monkeys with viruses movies. That's right. Good. That's a good choice. Go over to Hoodie, too.
Yeah, I'll go Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That was a good one.
Man,
that was
that's
on my
good.
List too.
I didn't think about this.
Yeah, so that was wrong. Great. Imagine the havoc that could raise.
Yeah.
And did.
And nobody will remember anybody, and everybody will be constantly confused because some people will remember some people, but they won't remember them.
Yeah.
Seems like such a good
and everybody's
idea.
Everybody's got to keep their mouth shut.
You right now.
I'm in love with you. Wasn't I in love with you before? I don't know. Let's be in love again. Awesome.
It just feels right until it feels wrong, and then we'll forget.
And then we'll forget and do it over again.
Nice. Adam, are we up to number ones?
What's your number?
Are you kicking
What's
off
your
the
number?
Oh, wait, my number two.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Don't cut 28, yourself short.
28 days later.
Yeah.
Another monkey virus. But when you make anything called Rage.
Yeah.
The Rage.
The Rage.
You
how
know
is
it's
this
not
going to
benefit humanity.
Right. How is this not a terrible idea?
Right.
Let's unleash Rage. Yeah, great thing to do.
And you didn't go with the Rise of the Time.
Again, catastrophic for humankind.
We're up to number ones now. What you got?
I'm going to go with Splice.
Go Frankenstein. I'm going to cut it.
I want to go Frankenstein, but yeah.
Splice. Would you call Splice kind of a play on Frankenstein?
I'd call it a play on Jekyll and Hyde.
And The Fly.
And The Fly.
Yeah, it's a good movie, Jekyll though, actually. I kind of like Splice.
Kind of like Splice until I had sex.
I like, no, I'd like Splice. I thought it was awesome.
Savage, what's your number one? I got
number
find
one,
out.
And I'm surprised that, I mean, this is more of an engineering fail of science, but are you telling me that the entire Empire couldn't shield the 2-meter exhaust port to the Death Star?
Oh,
you couldn't do that?
They didn't take into account the force.
I mean, it's
two you can't take into account
that,
the
that
force.
Goes to the very center of the Death Star that will cause a chain reaction to blow the entire thing up. You're telling me in the whole Death Star you couldn't?
It's a big Death Star.
You couldn't block that thing? And you shield that thing a little bit?
It's a Death Star.
Right. That's engineering. I'm
right.
out on
so,
that one.
No, that's a science fail.
You know, I kind of agree. Because
I kind of gave them that one.
Yeah, you couldn't put a piece of sheet metal on that thing.
Maybe they were working on all the other holes that needed to be filled, and they're like, we'll get to it tomorrow. I got this today. Norm's working on the north side.
Right.
They were getting to it.
So we say the manifold guy wasn't there yet.
Right.
You need a manifold on the thing.
Well,
you
know, coming from indoor. Leave him alone.
He had a slip on it. He was going to get to it.
So we'll plug that hole next week.
It was a fail.
Nice. Well, blind me with your science, Max. What's your number one?
Terminator.
Yep.
Terminator.
That's some bad science right there.
It completely humiliated and wiped out the entire human race.
Seemed like a good idea.
Of the human race.
Seemed like a good idea.
Depending on computers.
Hoodie, what's your number one?
I'm going to go with Prometheus, which is a weird call, but it's the alien. When they figured out they were going to send it to kill us, she turns around and shoots their science back on them.
And she brings Michael Fassbender's head with her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And she just needed to turn
head.
Right to live.
It's been Alien. I mean, that was designed to kill, so that's four movies worth right there before Prometheus.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
So it beats Terminator, every bit of it.
Nice. You don't mind? You know what mine is? Because I'm talking about...
Back to the Future.
Nah, that's too obvious. You know, we're talking about messing with hell. I'm talking about the mist.
Missed?
Wow, that's a good
science.
One.
Thank you. Thank
Stephen
you.
King, that's good. That's real good.
I'm sorry. Have you not seen this film?
No,
I looked into the mist. How's that
no,
science?
No, I want to know
the whole thing was these scientists. Can you believe what these scientists did? Oh, they kept saying the word
scientists.
Oh, that's
true. They did. That's true. You're
they,
right.
They found out a way to rip a hole in the fabric of time, and they ripped a hole into hell. And all of a sudden, you have dinosaurs walking up to the Piggly Wiggly for crying out loud. Yeah, see, now you're on board, aren't you?
And that's probably the best ending of any movie ever.
Loved it.
Yeah,
loved that film. God, I want
to
talk about that film.
Pretty intense.
That was a good film.
That was good.
All right, let's talk about some honorable mentions.
Story's pretty good.
Honorable mentions. Let's actually do our shout-out to
Twitter.
Yeah. Drew Koenig at Movie Buff Haven. You know what he said?
No.
Deep Blue Sea. Stupid movie. At Bubba Wheat, Swamp Thing, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Mm. I thought about that.
I know you did. We talked about that earlier. Love Potion number 9. Just making that movie was a bad idea. Look at this guy's name. I like this. Goat. He calls himself Goat at Rammy WTS, The Fly in Altered States.
Yeah.
Altered States was on my list at one point.
Max, go. What you got for honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions, Primer, Westworld, Blade Runner. One we saw not long ago, me and you, at Primer, Le Jete.
All right, guys. That's it. That is our breakdown of the 2012 film Antiviral, along with our, I don't know how you say it, man, top three science done gone bad.
Science fails.
Should have rethought that a bit.
Bad idea science.
Right. Not weird science, just bad idea science. Max, we're going to get into our big reveal. And actually, before we do that, once again, 2012 Antiviral, out of a possible 50, I think we gave it a... I
ended up with a
30, right?
Anybody moving? I'm sticking.
No, I'm sticking. All right, so that's 30 out of 50 red freckles. And it's currently on Netflix Instant Streaming. I think you need to get to it because I think it's going to be gone soon. Mm-hmm. So, big reveal, Max. This is your pick coming up. What are you going to lay down and what are we going to pick up?
I'm still up in the air with three films. I'm going to choose right now by closing my eyes and picking and going Bad Lieutenant.
Bad Lieutenant. Bad Lieutenant. This never is going to be fun. It. I've never seen this. It's one of those I need to see, I think.
I'm going to force you to watch this.
Yeah, you just go home and listen, you just go home, grow that beard some more. I'm going to watch Bad Lieutenant. I'll get back to you next week.
Do not watch this with your wife. I don't think she'll like it.
That's next week, guys. So this was Antiviral 2012. Stay safe. We'll see you then next week. Bad Lieutenant.
In a white room with black curtains near the station.